Okay, well, we'll go ahead and get started. I know some other people will probably join us as they usually do and they come in. But as a reminder, if you'd like to limit the background noise in case you're multitasking today, you can push *6 to mute yourself. And then if you have a question or you'd like to contribute a drill, then you can just *6 yourself again, and you'll be back and able to speak with us. Okay? So our topic today for our Member Solutions Client Networking is sparring drills. And I thought this might be kind of a nice topic because as instructors, we can always use extra sparring drills in the classroom. And I think that's always a hot topic because we've always got that catch-22 between wanting to make sure that we're teaching a lot of valuable information, especially to the newer students, without overloading them, keeping retention in mind, and also kind of keeping it fun. And also making sure that, you know, we train some really competent fighters. So I think this should be a really good topic. And so I'm glad that you guys have joined us today. And even if you didn't email in advance a certain drill that you wanted to talk about, I have a feeling that you'll have plenty of opportunity to talk about your drill. So please don't let that hold you back. We'll give everybody an opportunity. Pat Dominey is with us, and she had a drill that she wanted to share, first of all. So, Pat, I'm going to give the floor to you.
Okay. One of the things that we do, and we started doing it particularly with our new students, but we do it also with our the students who have been training a while. We do something called trading, and really, basically, it's a one-for-one attack. A side A will attack, and then side B will block it, and then side B will send an attack to A. So they're going back and forth. What we find with that is a great way to start people with sparring. It gets them used to seeing attacks coming at them, because especially the newer people, having a punch coming at them or having a kick coming at them is a little bit overwhelming. And so we use that to develop timing, develop speed. And what we find is the students who have been doing it we do it all the way up through black belt. Basically, it becomes an aerobic workout for the black belts because their timing and their speed and their vision is so good that they're already blocking something as something's coming out. So it works on the speed, their hand speed, and their foot speed. So that's what we do.
Well, that's a good one. And with if I could ask a quick question. And with the newer students with that, do you have a little bit of contact, no contact? Do you have them apart? How do you work that with, like, the newest people?
Well, with the newest people, I just keep them farther apart. There's no contact to start with. And
okay. And
as they get more confident, you watch them close in a little bit more at a time until they get to be, you know, the green belt, brown belts, and they're wanging each other, you know. And that way, you know, what they'll realize is, oh, that block didn't work. You know, when they're newbies, you know, their eye tells them to block, and they're late or they're early or whatever. They don't get hit, so that's okay. But as they get more confident, they by necessity close up. So I don't even have to encourage them to close in; they just do. So it's kind of like sparring at their own pace. You know, so that because what we found is. Beginner sparrers kind of look like the old-fashioned knights jousting. You know, they kind of run across with one arm out and hope they hit somebody.
So I can do that. I can
see
that.
So anyway, that's what we do. That's what we do, and it works out. It works really well on all levels, and so you can have higher levels work with lower levels, and you can work it around because the higher levels work with the lower levels. They know what to do. They can help the newer ones get a little more proficient at it. The higher ones use it as an aerobic exercise. You know, 60 seconds of attack spar, attack block, attack block, attack block, attack block. It takes a long time, and there's no movement, there's no footwork, there's no faking. It's just straight attacks. So it becomes quite aerobic.
Right.
For the older ones. So.
Well, sounds good.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that sounds like a good one. Does anybody else have one that they'd like to share next? Maybe Jeff?
So this
okay, nobody else? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
That's okay. I've been trying to make some lunch. But
sorry about that.
Things that I really like to do is work on avoiding counterattack. And so as the students progress, we work on, well, where's the stomach? And so if they can keep in mind on which foot can go toward the stomach, then that really helps them out there. So we'll have one student who attack with a diagonal kick, and the other student may avoid counterattack with a punch and then follow up with a kick, something like that. Then as they advance, we'll work on, well, if they step back with their right foot, then you need to counterattack with a diagonal kick. If they step back with their left foot, counterattack with a back kick. So it makes them think quicker.
Gotcha. And I like the fact that you're working on the angles, too, you know, the diagonals, because some people still, you know, they just work a lot of up and back, and it's really good that I like that you're working on cutting an angle on the way out.
And really, especially with the lower belts and all the way up, we try to match ability. Everybody's not the same ability, so even a red belt, there may be a yellow belt who has better ability than a red belt, for instance, maybe because of age or size or just physical ability. And so someone who has a great ability has to bring their technique down a little bit, where the person who don't have as much ability has to step it up a little bit, and so that they try to make a balance in sparring.
Right.
And
okay.
I'll see if I can think of another one.
Sure. Sure. Well, while you're thinking, if you don't mind, I'll ask, is there anybody else who's got one right up their sleeve that they'd like to share? You know, it takes a moment to unstar six yourselves. Okay, well, Jeff, did you have another one now, or did you want, if you want, I got a couple, I brought a few with me since I still teach. I figured, hey, I can jump in here too a little bit.
One of my favorite drills is reverse hook kick drills. When they're first learning it, of course, they got to be able to hit a target, and then we'll do reverse hook kick and counterattack with a reverse hook kick. Those are always fun.
So are you doing that versus any certain technique? Are you countering like a punch? Are you? How are you running that?
One side will do a reverse hook kick, and then the other side will do a reverse hook kick almost before the first person gets his foot back on the floor so that they develop the timing.
Okay, I see. Okay, does anybody else have any drills they'd like to share?
Kathy, we also do a drill called Snake and Mongoose, and it's a lateral drill. Snake is moving, mongoose is basically still. So it teaches kids distance and teaches how close they can get before they get hit, and basically they have to protect themselves. You know, you give them a little square on the mat. This is your domain to protect. You know, it's kind of like defend the castle. And the snake comes in and tries to attack and tries to score. We use that with my older kids. So it teaches them how to score, teaches them how to get in and get out without getting hit. So that's another one we use.
Okay, so does the mongoose get to hit back? Or
the mongoose gets to block and counter. They just can't move.
They block and counter, but they have to hold their ground.
They have to hold their ground.
Gotcha. Okay, that's cute. I like the name.
Well, the kids do, too, and especially when you have kids under 10 who have the ability to spar. You know, that just helps them remember what the drill is going to be, you know, if you give it a name like that.
Now, do you block off the square with tape, or do you just say this is your area, stay here, or?
Well, I have swing mats, so they're blocks. You know, you can see you can just delineate a space. This is your block, so I don't even use tape, but they're squared off mats. so it lends itself for it. You know, because you can see where the edges are. You know.
I see.
I'm a little lazy about that stuff, you know.
And what, hey, if you don't need to do it, why do it?
Exactly.
Let them be a little bit more spatially aware.
That's exactly right.
All right. Well, does anybody else have a drill they'd like to share right now?
Well, speaking of the mat drills,
okay,
I have puzzle mats, and we have four blue squares in the middle surrounded by red squares on the outside. And a fun game is you have one person in the middle four blue squares, one person in the red square, and they cannot step in each other's color. And they have to spar each other that way, and then after a minute they switch.
Teaches that sounds
fun. It's in distance mainly.
Gotcha. Do they get tortured if they step on the other one? Or no, I'm just kidding. Free shot?
Hollering and having a good time.
Okay. Sounds good. Does anybody else have one they'd like to put out there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Fred Schneider, Long Island, New York.
Hi there.
Hi there. We have one drill to use, also a partner drill. The one partner does jumping jacks, while the other partner tries to get side kicks under the side when the jumping jack is up. Sounds pretty easy, but for beginners and intermediates, it's quite difficult to get the timing right, and that's exactly what it trains. Of course, you do the foot gear, so, you know, not to get anybody damaged.
Right.
Get the distance, timing, you know, it works on all that, and it's quite an aerobic workout.
Now, on that drill, do you ever let the person doing the jumping jacks change up the speed or the rhythm of the jumping jacks?
Oh,
lower,
absolutely,
faster?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. And it happens quite automatically. After a few seconds,
I'm sure
you get the idea that you don't even need to instruct them for that. They start automatically switching it up.
Okay,
I have a question for the very first. Yeah, well, they don't hit that hard, but you know, you just kind of want to tag them and see. It's more difficult than it sounds.
I bet. I bet it is. I'll have to try that one.
And of course, the higher ranks, you let them do the jumping jacks long, and they get quite a little bit workout out of it. I have a question to the very first one, if you don't mind to explain that again. I saw all the advantages, but I didn't quite understand exactly how you set it up, if we have the time for that.
Sure. Are you talking about Pat's first drill, about her her free-flowing block and counter drill?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
so Pat?
It's pretty simple. You have two people facing each other, and one person will throw a technique, the other person will block, and then the person who just blocked throws a technique. So they're just working back and forth. All they're doing is throwing techniques at the other person, one at a time. So all it is block and counter, and that's one that you can.
Okay.
The better you get, the faster you can go.
Okay, and you have them lined up, and then one line moves so everybody has a different partner?
Absolutely.
So
yeah, we'll do 30 to 60 second rounds, and then we'll move to the right. So the whole, we work in a circle, so everybody just moves one to the right. And so you can do that for, 10, 15 minutes. Everybody's had 10, 15 tries, and they've got a lot of experience because they've worked with people of different abilities, even within a rank, people have different abilities. So it works out really good.
Okay. All right. Great. Does anybody else have a drill they'd like to share?
Hey, Kathy.
Hi. Who's this?
It's Dwight in Miami.
Hi, Dwight.
Okay. I was, a lot of the stuff that we do is all, rather than being technique-based, it's more principle-based. So I was going to tell you about what we call the progressive sparring drills. So, for example, you could have one person using, let's say, maybe just the lead jab, and then the other person, you can assign them hands and feet. or you have one person going hands only, the other person going feet only, you know, then reversing that and all kinds of things. One person going right lead, the other person going left lead. You see what I'm talking about?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, so now it's not technique-oriented. It's just more principle-based.
Sure. Okay. Did anybody else have anything they'd like to add?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, it's Fred again from New York. If nobody else has anything, I have some more.
Sure, go right ahead.
That we use? Okay. One thing we use is we take away certain weapons. Weapons, I'm talking about, you know, your arms, your legs. So I would say, you know, you have only arms, your partner has only legs, and we switch it around. You know, one partner has only legs, the other one has only arms. You have only one side. You can only fight with your left side. You can only fight with your right side. And we mix it up to give different perspectives on things. And it trains quite well the distance. When one partner has only legs and the other one has arms, you see what the big difference is between your reach in legs and your reach in arms. That's one of them.
Okay.
Okay. Nobody else wants to jump in. Another one that I do with more advanced students, we blindfold them. Okay. And everybody has to be very, very quiet. And it's quite interesting what happens. you have to be advanced, not so much for technique, but that you can trust them not to hurt each other. Because usually what happens if you have never done it, as soon as they make contact, they start just wailing instead of trying to really figure it out. So, more advanced, they enjoy it quite. Yes?
That's something you do with the more advanced students, I take it?
Yes.
Not your new people. Okay, just making sure I'm clarifying that. Okay.
Yes, and not so much for the training drill itself. It's only for safety. The more advanced students, they have the discipline not to injure each other.
Right.
Whereas the beginner students, they start just wailing. You know, they just wail. As soon as they make contact, they just, you know, flare their arms and they just swing all over the place.
Gotcha. One of the things that I like to do, and it's a little bit like what Dwight does, is kind of like progressive sparring drills, and a little bit of what Jeff was talking about earlier too, is doing a lot of limited sparring where you do things, and also like Fred was just talking about, is limited things. I like to, with the upper ranks, actually write it out on like a piece of paper, and like put a different technique in. It might be side kick, round kick, hook kick, whatever. It could be a punch. Maybe about 4 to 6 techniques that you want them to work on, and just write it on a piece of paper and fold it up so they can't see it. And then they, you know, when you have everybody squared off, they get to draw a piece of paper, and that's the technique they have to use. But then you have them try to use it in sparring as many different ways as possible. So you might set up the class, and you might show the class that, okay, if you have a jab punch, okay, here's what you can do with a jab. You can fire high, you can fire low. You can fake high, go low. You can fake low, go high. You can throw the jab and then follow up with a kick. You know, you can double jab. You can, you know, you can fake it and do nothing. You know, so you give them a lot of different ideas on different ways that they could throw the technique before they start, but then they have to just stick with that one technique and throw it as many different ways as they can and see what works best for them. That's one of the things we do. And another thing that's very progressive, too, is teaching them how to recognize different fighting styles. You know, whether somebody's a lead-off fighter, you know, meaning as soon as they hit the line, they just, boom, blast off against you. Or are they a counter fighter? As soon as you attack, they try to, you know, retreat or sidestep and, boom, hit. Or maybe they're counter fighters, where they, you know, try to get the counter fighter to come after them and then counter them. So we'll do that, too. We'll put that on paper, too, and fold it up and have them draw it, and they have to act as a leadoff fighter. They have to be a counter fighter. And what's interesting is if someone's not used to being a leadoff fighter, it's good for them because it's very challenging and it kind of breaks them out of their old habits, their comfort zone. And if somebody is, you know, doesn't like to counter fight, well, it's good for them to figure out how to do that, too. So those are just a couple quick things that we do that we like to play with just to keep things interesting and mix it up a bit. Does anybody else have one? Dwight, I know you have more. Put him on the spot. He's still there.
I'm still here. People talking. I don't know.
Kathy?
Yes.
Okay, I'll give you some more principle-based stuff, right? Because let's break it down this way. Four skills that are required for fighting: kicking, punching, trapping, grappling. So, can you have kicking versus kicking, kicking versus punching, kicking versus trapping, kicking versus grappling, so that ultimately you can come up with, I think it's like a minimum of 8 combinations of fighting.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes. So when you run that, do you run that in short rounds, long rounds, you know?
It varies. To tell you the truth, right, as far as sparring, when we break sparring down into equipment sparring, controlled sparring, prearranged sparring, and, you know, all of that must be mastered before you can actually do what we call free sparring. So at my school, you'd never get a beginner doing free sparring.
Right.
You see, the beginner has to do a lot of equipment drills, and then those equipment drills are transferred into what we call glove drills. So, for example, if you're teaching somebody how to jab, cross hook, and uppercut on the focus mitts, that's equipment sparring. Now, later on, that person, just like everybody's saying, when the student has more control, now we both put the boxing gloves on, and now that jab, cross hook, uppercut is thrown at your partner, not at the focus mitt. You see?
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then at other stages, well, then we start to... We use a lot of stuff from the Filipino panuntukan. I don't know if you've ever heard of Filipino boxing.
Yes, and I'm sure a lot of people who are listening right now probably are familiar.
Yeah, right. I mean, so a lot of the panuntukan is all what we call rhythm and timing. So just like the example with the jumping jacks and the sidekick, you know, that's a rhythm and timing drill. Yeah, so we would use something like that, but it'd just be a little bit more combat oriented.
Gotcha. Okay, well, that's some good information, I think. Does anybody have any other things that they'd like to add, or do you have any questions for anybody who's been presenting drills? You can, you know, we can stop any time and go back and ask questions.
If nobody is asking, I'd like to ask a question about the four different scenarios there we just talked about.
Sure, go for it.
Okay. You said, you know, you have a puncher, you have a kicker, you have a grappler, and you change the different styles against each other. Is that something you have two partners do in a row? So first one is a puncher against the kicker, then the other one. I mean, how would you set it up?
Well, there's an infinite variety of ways that we could set it up. So it really just depends on, for example, how many people you have in class, you know, and again, whether or not it's a beginner, an intermediate, or an advanced class. If it's a beginner class, then it's got to be a whole lot more controlled than if it's my advanced group. The advanced, you know, so you could probably have one group sitting and watching and then just do 2-minute rounds maybe, so that you rotate everyone and everybody gets a chance to work on it.
But in those 2 minutes, would you change it up? You know, you are now a puncher, okay, and you go for a few seconds. Then now you switch to a kicker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Again, infinite variety is available to you.
and you announce it to them. You say, like, okay, you are a grappler now, and you are a puncher.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay.
And then within that...
You mix it up as you see fit.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
You mix it up as you see fit during, let's say, a two-minute round.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you know what skill, let's say, a particular student needs to work on, then you can assign that person to work on that skill.
Right.
You know, and if you put somebody who has a little bit more experience in with the lesser experienced person, well, now that person gets to demonstrate his or her ability to be a good coach for the one who's not as skilled in sparring. You see what I mean?
Yes.
So, you know, so you can, I mean, you can help, sparring can help your students on many different levels. I mean, I've heard, I don't know about you, but I've heard, you know, multiple horror stories about people who start as beginners and, you know, they're just thrown into sparring without being educated about it. And when you have that situation, then it's the more naturally aggressive students beating up on the not-so-aggressive ones, and then those people end up quitting because sparring wasn't a pleasant experience for them.
Yes. Well, in my school, you have to be training for about a year before you even can take a look at it.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the way it should be.
Right. Okay, does anybody else have a drill or a question that they'd like to go back that on a drill that anyone presented?
I have a question that maybe somebody has a suggestion for.
Sure.
How do you introduce sparring to the more shy person? You know, that has very nice abilities, but is very unsure of himself and very intimidated by people that, let's say, the lead-off sparrer that charges right off the, you know, off the line and plows right in. How do you, you know, get him slowly introduced and excited about the process? Anybody good ideas on that?
I'd like to say something to that. What I do is with kids who are really shy, I put them with somebody maybe a little safer, somebody who I consider safe, and they just do block and counter drills. They do one-step sparring. So what they'll do is one person will be attacking, say, a jab punch or a front kick, and the shy person, all he has to do is deal with one thing. So they're moving around, and it's random in the timing, but all he has to do is worry about one thing coming at him. And, you know, I make sure that everybody's got all padding on it so that they you know, they know what to do. If I have a kid who's really, really, really shy and really, really, really timid, I use the blockers. I use, instead of a front kick, I'll use a blocker to simulate the arc of a kick. Or the direction of a punch, and then that way they're not worried about getting hurt, because most of the kids who are timid are worried about getting hurt. So I make it as simple as I possibly can to bring them up to a point where they get comfortable doing it, and you know, and then they, you know, if they don't get hurt, they'll take the next step forward.
Okay, does that answer that for you, or did anybody else want to answer that question as well and give their feedback?
One of the things that I find about someone who gets hurt, child, he gets hit in the mouth, and he starts crying. Well, one of the things that they have misconception is, oh, man, I'm really hurt. I'm going to die, you know, because they see all that on TV, one hit and the guy's dead. And then I point out, wow, you actually took that shot and you're tough enough to take it? Wow, you must be tough. And that the tears stop and they become real proud of themselves for taking it.
Gotcha. And then you kind of redirect them and get them back into class and
right.
Going again. And just make sure they don't get wailed on again.
Right. Sometimes we'll go back and find out, well, how did you get hit? So let's review how you could have avoided that and how you could have blocked it and counterattacked, something like that.
Gotcha. Okay, does anybody have any other drills they'd like to share, or like to go back to any of the other ones and, you know, ask some clarification questions or general questions?
Kathy?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Dwight again.
Hi, Dwight.
I agree with everything. Is it Patricia who just spoke?
Yeah.
Pat? Yeah. Well, Patricia,
yeah.
I call her Pat.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree with everything that she just said. And on the topic of using equipment, we're big fans of using the focus mitts. And so in Jeet Kune Do, what we try to do is, it's what Bruce Lee called approximating the reality of the situation. And so one of our goals when we use the focus mitt, so one person has the gloves and the other person has the focus mitt, so they can still go back and forth, but the equipment person really fights so that the way that the one who's doing the hitting moves is just like he or she would move in a real fight. So it's kind of almost the way a boxing trainer would train his fighter. So the fighter has to move exactly like he would in the ring if he was boxing against an opponent instead of just a training partner. Did I explain that well?
I got a visual off that.
Okay.
So basically, yeah, I mean, I did. I don't know if everybody else did. But so basically what you're saying is instead of you just hitting focus mitts and me just holding them for you and maybe walking around, is I might be taking those shots, but I'm also going to hit you back with those.
Yeah.
I'm gonna smack your body
exactly.
You're gonna be
so
interactive,
both, yeah.
But I'm not really trying to hurt you. You know, I'm gonna boom. I'll be intense and quick, but not hit you hard.
And I'll tell you, we even do that to a limited extent, but we do that in our fitness kickboxing classes also.
And that probably gives them more like a real feeling that they are really sparring without really sparring. So.
Exactly.
So I'm sure they really like that.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that we're always looking at being able to do to raise people's level is to go from equipment drills to glove drills. And the glove drill, we use a lot of stuff from, like, French kickboxing, for example. And so the scenario could be set up where one person attacks with the kick, and then you have to counter with, you know, a specific kick and punch combination or something.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I mean, you can everything that we do with equipment, we try to do with the gloves, and then the other crazy thing is that a lot of the stuff that we do in our stick fighting, we can also apply to empty hands. So that opens up another can of worms there.
The good kind, though.
Yeah. I can give you one more principle if you're interested.
Oh, I'm sure everybody would like to hear it.
Okay. It's a concept known as the five methods of counteroffense. I mean, some people call it the five methods of defense. Right? And so we go, one is distance, two is block and hit, three is simultaneous parry and hit, four is evade and hit, and then number five is the stop hit or the interception, which is where the name Jeet Kune Do, the way the interceptance fist, comes from. So, for example, the easiest way, I think, to visualize this is somebody throwing a right cross at you. You know, so in distance, you just get the heck out of there. So they miss. And so you're successful in defending yourself because they didn't make contact. But if that person can shuffle up and sidekick you, well, now distance didn't really work because it wasn't just a boxing scenario. Now it was more like a boxing and kicking scenario. Make sense?
Uh-huh, sure.
All right. So then the second stage is block and hit. So now they fire the right cross and you cover with your left. Both people are in left lead. So you cover with your left arm and you fire back a right cross yourself. And then the third scenario, simultaneous parry and hit, would be where, you know, perhaps we're looking more at the trap in hands of, you know, a kung fu system like Wing Chun or something. So instead of cover and hit back, it's cover and hit at the same time. So you're using the left arm and the right arm at the same time, what we'd call simultaneous offense and defense.
Gotcha.
Okay. Number four, evade and hit, would be, you know, slipping to the outside or slipping to the inside or doing a bottom weave or something and then retaliating. That's number four, evade and hit. And then the ultimate, the stop hit, would be they pull back to throw the right cross and you intercept that with a lead technique, whether it's a lead kick or a lead punch. But you essentially beat them to the punch.
Gotcha.
Right, so again, it's all about distance and timing and coordination, and you can put it on equipment first and then put it into a glove drill and then set it up as a free sparring situation.
Gotcha. You know, and I like that structure because what I'm getting from that is I actually teach in somebody else's school. You know, so they kind of have the lead on what I'm doing. You know, I'd like to just walk in and do what I want to, but it's their school, but... I'm going to show her this format and see if she can structure her lesson plans to include all of this in a structured way, so they're a little bit more well-rounded. So I like this. We're already teaching the five different things, but evade and hit. I'm sorry, it's your third one. Second one, block and hit at the same time. I don't think she teaches that too much. Evade and hit at the same time, but I think that would be good. So I like that. That'll help. I'm going to send that to her. So I'm taking notes, Dwight. I like that. Just puts it in perspective, and that makes it easier to balance in lesson plans, I think. Did anybody else have any drills that they'd like to share or any other questions for anybody that's presented?
Well, I'd do something similar to that last one. Three basic times to score a point is before, during, or after the other person attacked. If someone goes to attack, if you can beat them to it, or if they go to attack, then you can avoid counterattack. Or, for instance, same time someone does a roundhouse, you could block and do a back kick and hit at the same time. Avoid counter before, during, or after they attack.
That's catchy. That's easy to remember, too.
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody else have any others they'd like to add in? Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Well, I hope that everybody who's out there at least got one little morsel, if not more, of some way that you can tweak your sparring drills or something that you can take into your classroom to improve something you're already doing or maybe add to, you know, what you're already offering. It just might make it just a little bit better for you and a little bit easier to retain students and to, you know, to teach them how to be really excellent at sparring. And I want to thank everybody for attending this month's networking teleconference. Next month, I thought we would talk about retail during the holidays as well as just sales in general during the holidays, so enrollment strategies you guys might have. For the holiday season, sometimes it's hit or miss, and also maybe some strategies you have for pumping up your retail sales that you might like to share with each other. So that'll be the topic in November if you can join us for the networking teleconference. And I just want to give a quick reminder also that you know, we do offer free consulting. So you know, if you want to consult on more sparring drills, you know, or anything really, you can email or call us, but you can email consulting at membersolutions.com, request a consultation with myself, Melody Schumann, or Ali Alberigo, just for being a Member Solutions client. So, again, I want to thank you. You know, last call, anything else that anybody wanted to add or ask? Okay. Well, once again, thank you very much for attending, and all of you that contributed drills as well, you know, thanks again. Really, really appreciate it, and the opportunity to kind of get to jump in there and hear what you guys have going on in your schools is a really nice benefit. So I appreciate that. And you guys have a wonderful day.
Thanks for your time, Kathy.
Thanks.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks, everybody.
All right, bye.
Okay.